Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
Welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday. Back to the happy Wednesdays.
Yep. Happy regular day. I'm so happy it's not the holidays anymore. I'm sorry I'm a Grinch, but I am.
Yeah.
I mean, happy.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. Because after a while, it just becomes too much.
It's too much. Yeah, I went in Walmart today after work, and literally, it was so ugly. It was so empty. Because, you know, they're just, like, just now taking all the Christmas stuff down. She was empty completely. But I was fine with that.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah, I know. Target's been like that, too. I went to Target the other day. Yeah. And I undecorated my house.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels better. Feels cleaner.
Yeah. It does.
I don't know why.
It's, like, so much, like, it's, like, cozy with all your decorations, but, you know, there's like, less room, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. No, there definitely is. It's somehow cleaner. Love it.
Yeah.
Love that we're back to normal.
Yes. So, to all of our listeners out there, I'm going to see Taylor this weekend.
Yay! I'm so excited.
Yes. So, yeah. We just, like, randomly planned a trip for me to go down there. And it just happened that two of the haunted locations that we wanted to see were having night tours, like, this weekend. So it just, like, happened to happen, and now we're going to go to them. Yep.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So we're... Yeah. Oh. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So one of the ones we're going to go see that we have a tour for is one that I'm going to be talking about today. So, ooh. I'll get into it in a little bit, but, and the other one is the Latimer House, and I think, did you cover that previously?
I did. I didn't look up what episode it was, though, but it's there. You can find it.
Yeah. Yeah, so two very, very haunted locations. So hopefully we'll see or hear some things. I don't know.
I hope so bad that something happens to us. Guys, I really want it. I need the evidence, and I want it caught on camera. Uh-huh. So let's hope that next week we can have, like, a little update for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We're going to try our hardest. We don't have any, like, ghost hunting equipment or anything. We're just going to go in with ourselves, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. And apparently they're, like, cutting off the electricity in the houses, and we're walking around with, like, candlelight, like, throwing it back, like, how it was, like, back in the day. Which, that adds extreme creep factor for me.
It does. Yeah. No, it definitely does.
So, you know, I'm a little scared. I can't lie.
Yeah. Just see, I didn't realize that it was going to be by candlelight. Mm-hmm. And that makes me a little creeped out too, but maybe maybe it won't be as dark as we're thinking.
Maybe,
you know.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect, but we'll see, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else to mention before I get into my story?
The only thing, I guess, is to go rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcast, but other than that, I don't really have any other intro topics.
Okay, so this house we are going to see on, it's tomorrow, the day that we're recording this. We're going tomorrow. So that should be fun. So this is the Bergwin Wright House. So it is located in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Shout out.
You know, yeah, right near Taylor's house. And it is one of the oldest homes in the city of Wilmington.
Is it? Oh, God. I'm going to throw up hearing this story.
Yeah. I didn't refresh myself on the Latimer House. We'll have to refresh ourselves before we go.
Yeah, we'll listen to the episode.
Yeah. But yeah, the Bergwin Wright House, one of the oldest homes. It is also the site of the first jail in Wilmington.
This is already giving very haunted.
Yeah, so the first jail was built in 1744.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and some of the original, like, foundation parts are still there, like the basement,
I think. Oh, not the basement. There's a basement in Wilmington?
See, I don't know if it means basement by, like, the first floor or basement as in, like, it goes into the ground. Mm-hmm. But I believe the basement is the part that's, like, part of the old jail. Which makes sense because, you know, they would probably knocked it down.
Yeah.
And kept the base, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the ballast stones from the jail are part of the foundation of the house.
Wow.
So... and this, so the Bergwin Wright House, it was built by Mr. and Mrs. John Bergwin in 1770, and it finished in 1771. So a long, long time ago.
That is so old. I'm so scared. That might be like one of the oldest houses I will have ever stepped foot into.
Yeah, no, it's super old. 'Cause you know, if you know anything about history out there, America was not even a country until
1776.
Yes, so this was five years before that.
This was pre-America. Okay, that's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is still standing. I mean, I know like the first building isn't, you know, but any part of it, that's wild.
I know. Yeah. So it was. Yeah, it finished in 1771, and unfortunately. Mrs. Bergwin died in 1770 before the house was completed.
Oh no, that's sad.
Yeah. And John Bergwin, he was a merchant and a planter, which, you know, I didn't really look up what planter meant, but I'm guessing that this means like slave owner. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Is that what you would assume?
That's too? What I'm assuming, yeah. Like on the plantation.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what it's giving, the word, anyway. Maybe not, but...
I mean, I feel like most people were...
I was gonna say, everybody here pretty much was, so makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. And he was also the private secretary to the last two royal governors of North Carolina.
Oh, I don't even know what that means.
I know. I don't really either, but I'm guessing, like, before America was a country, there were royal governors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it was still
somebody had to lead. British. Yeah.
It was still sort of run by the British, the English. And then, so he was the private secretary to the last two. And then after that, I guess, you know, they stopped having royal governors.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also the treasurer of the North Carolina colony.
Okay, wow. This man kind of did it all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like back in the day, like, there were not that many people in these colonies. So it makes sense that when we go through these stories that a lot of them had, you know, a lot of, they were wearing a lot of hats, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they're definitely were not as populated as today. But yeah, so he was all of that, the treasurer and everything. And he actually broke his leg in 1775.
Oh.
And he returned to England.
Oh, what? Because he broke his leg?
Yeah, so he said that it was for medical reasons, but it was actually probably because he was a loyalist.
Oh.
So, do you know what that means?
You know, it's in Hamilton, but I don't really know what it means.
Right. So, if you know anything about history,
no, I don't.
a loyalist was basically the English side in the Revolutionary War.
Okay.
So he wanted England to keep control of the U.S. colonies.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, well, I mean, it looks like, because this was 1775, like right before
mm-hmm.
we won the war. So he was like, well, it looks like they're going to win. So I guess I'm going to just go back to England.
Wow.
That's what it seems like.
Okay.
Yeah. So his house was confiscated when he went away, you know, because he broke his leg or whatever.
Yeah.
And then... he got a pardon after the Revolutionary War, and then, so, like, he got his house back. Like, it was taken for a little bit, and then he got it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, After this, when he got it back, he sold the house in 1799 to Joshua Granger Wright.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it's Bergwin Wright.
Right, yeah.
So it was both of their houses.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, not together. So, Joshua Wright, his mother had rented the house from Bergwin, and he grew up in the house.
Oh.
So, yeah. And during the war, the house was actually captured by the British for a little bit.
Oh, what? No way.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Uh-huh. And Lord Cornwallis,
mm-hmm.
He occupied it for 3 weeks, and it was called the Cornwallis House for a brief period.
Wait, are we talking about, like, the Cornwallis?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
I guess so.
You know, I don't really
see,
know.
See, now I'm like, I don't know who that is.
You know what? I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. That's crazy, though. That's so crazy. I cannot believe we're going here. Like, I'm so sorry. That's all I can think about is the fact that we're going here tomorrow.
I know. It has a lot of history to it.
It really does.
So, yeah. It was called the Cornwallis House for a brief period, and then it started being called the the Bergwin Wright House. And in the 1930s, so skipping ahead, you know, some decades,
as we do.
The house is, you know, 160 years old by then, in the 1930s. The house was not doing too good. It's not really in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And the property was put up for sale, and it was almost sold to an oil company to build a gas station on.
Oh, that would have been real tragic.
Yeah. Yeah. And the community actually came together. People saw that they were going to buy it, and they were like, we need to stop this. So people came together, and also the National Society of the Colonial Dames of America, which I guess is a society that, like, you know, protects these sort of things.
Yeah.
The North Carolina chapter of it, they got involved, and they helped the community to purchase the house, and they were able to save it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So the house was restored over the years, and it opened as a museum in 1951.
Wow. So, it has been a museum for a long time.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's old.
It's old, dude. It's mm-hmm. real old.
Yeah. So starting in 1951, it opened as, like, this museum house, and then starting in 1952, all fourth graders in the New Hanover County school system have participated in, like, a free annual field trip to the house.
No way.
So that's really cool.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. And there's also tours, like, during the day, and, of course, the night tours, which we are going to go on.
I'm scared.
Which is going to be crazy, yeah. So yeah, I guess we'll just have to update you guys on that next week, but I can get into some haunted sort of happenings.
Oh, Lord. I don't know if I'm ready to hear this. I am ready, but I'm also not.
Okay. Yeah, let's get into it. So, when the house first opened as a museum and the article that I read said docent, or I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but I looked it up. I was like, I don't even know what that word is, but it means, like, teacher or lecturer at, like, a university or, like, a tour guide.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that's, like, a separate thing, but I'm just gonna say tour guide.
It's definitely tour guide, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know. So the tour guide, they were, like, giving a tour, and them and the group, they saw an old spinning wheel start turning on its own. Uh-huh. And it, of course, you know, as how these stories go, it had been stuck in place for years.
What? Ugh. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Is that going to be in there?
I think so.
Mm-mm.
I think it's still there.
Oh, God, that's so horrifying.
So basically, like, yeah, this thing has been stuck in place, and then it starts moving on its own. And it starts spinning faster and faster and faster, and then it suddenly stopped.
I really don't like that.
Yeah, I don't either. So this tour group, the tour guide went up to the wheel to try to spin it themselves, and it wouldn't move.
What do you mean?
Yeah, so. So, like, this tour guide and a whole group of people, like, saw this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it, yeah. So, scary.
I don't like it. Not even one bit. I'm confused, though. Like, so does it normally spin and it just wasn't spinning when they tried to turn it?
Yes. So, okay. It was a spinning wheel.
Okay, so, like, somebody was holding it. Not letting it move.
I think it was, like, stuck in place because... just because it's old and it's like rusted or something.
Oh, okay.
And then it just started spinning.
And oh my gosh. What if we see
it? It was unexplained.
What if we see it spin?
Scary. So, moving on from that, witnesses have reported apparitions walking the hallways. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
Oh yeah.
People have seen men in colonial knee breeches.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, can you picture that?
Yeah, I can.
It's those pants that, like, come to the knees, and then they would wear, like, tall socks or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can picture it very well.
Yes. So, that sort of dress. Ladies and gentlemen in Edwardian clothes.
Okay. Love that.
And there was, people have seen possibly... an enslaved person outside near the jail, like where the jail was.
Wow. So a lot of people being seen. That's interesting. How are we supposed to know if it's a real person or a ghost?
I don't know. I've never seen a ghost. Like, yeah. Is it like...
Oh, I don't know.
Is it like, you know, see-through?
Yeah.
Like,
hopefully we'll find out.
Yeah. I'm scared.
Me too.
Okay, so... I'm not done either. So, staff has also heard heavy footsteps walking from the front of the house to the back. And staff has witnessed on two occasions someone walk past a doorway that, you know, was not there.
Oh, spooked my ghosts.
Yes. So, I have sort of this... a summary of this investigation that was done. So in 2017, Port City Paranormal investigated this house.
Mm-hmm.
And have we talked about Port City Paranormal before?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. But this one, they have like a really cool website and everything. So I have it linked below so you can go check that out. But they investigated, and to start, they did sort of like a pre-investigation and made a grid of the site. They had a map and time schedule so that they wouldn't have sound contamination. And each team, like, they had like different groups of people. Each team was given an hour in each location, and each location was investigated twice.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So they investigated on March 4th of 2017, and they started at 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And they went in blind and didn't know any of the history before starting.
That's good. So
that's, yeah. And they, like, detailed a lot, like, all this stuff. Like, everything I'm saying, I'm trying to, like, just do, like, an overview. But they, like, even noted the weather and everything.
Oh, that's, like, important.
They have everything. I know. Yeah, like, this is a good group.
Very thorough. We love to see that. Good research. Mm-hmm.
So, everyone on the team had a portable audio recorder, and a few backup recorders were placed around the site. There were 7 static cameras that had audio and infrared, and they were positioned in areas of past activity. So, outside of the kitchen, the basement, which was, you know, the site of the old jail, the library, the parlor, the supper room. There's so many rooms in this house.
For real.
The first floor sitting room, the second floor hall, the second floor porch.
That's like, that sounds like that should be the entire house.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I guess there's more to it than that.
That's crazy.
It didn't even list any bedrooms, so.
That's right. That's very true. Oh, wow.
These old houses. Yeah, I don't know. So, and they also set up another camera in the attic.
Oh, not the attic.
No equipment was set up on the ground level because of renovations during the time. Everyone also had a portable video recorder, and one of the teams had a full spectrum camera, and others used like a camera set to low light. So I don't really know much about ghost hunting equipment and stuff, but
you know, I don't know much. Yeah, either.
Yeah, and also they had a Mel meter, which I didn't know what that was, so I had to look it up. It's an EMF reader, so electromagnetic field, and it also has ambient temperature.
Oh, okay.
So, and the readings on that were at a baseline of 0.1. So, pretty low, and there was no unexplained, like, spikes.
Okay. So. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, all this stuff, you know, it's, I don't really know much about it, but maybe, you know, we'll learn by doing this stuff.
Yeah, we will.
So, on this night that they investigated, the weather outside was 35 to 45 degrees Fahrenheit. The skies were clear. The moon was at 40% waxing crescent. See, they even put the moon.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah, they really went in.
The humidity was 40% and a high of 75%. And the wind was calm. So it was like kind of like a calm night. Not really.
It was chilling.
I feel like no outside, you know, influences from the weather and stuff.
Yeah.
So let's get into the observations of the house. So when they walked in, they said that the house felt warm and inviting.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But the next line that I have, I feel like takes it all away. No. They had the feeling of being watched.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Especially in the attic.
Oh, don't tell me that. I got, the second you even said attic, I just got a bad feeling.
I'm sorry. The house seemed to be filled with mutterings and faint conversations out of range.
Oh, no, no, no. That is so creepy.
Yeah, it is pretty creepy. So yeah, people, they just, like, hear background noise, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And somebody also heard a loud cough on the second floor.
Oh.
And then he felt drawn to the hallway and heard a woman sobbing.
Oh, no. So,
that's not good.
Definitely not.
Yeah. When investigating the library, bumps and footsteps were heard from the second floor above, which was the guest room.
Mm-hmm. And so we're assuming, like, nobody's up there on the second floor when they're hearing that?
Yeah, nobody should be up there. Ooh, because they sort of had it planned out where, like, nobody should be able to have, like, background noise in each other's recordings, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's smart. I mean, they seem like they know what they're doing, so, I mean, I trust them.
Yeah, it seems like it. They were also, they heard a few voices, and some of the things that they heard included leave.
Okay.
Someone shouting leave after somebody had said that it was a strange place.
Oh.
So.
Well.
I guess they didn't like that.
Yeah.
And they also heard somebody say, down here.
Mm-mm. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Wait, would they heard that with their ears or, like, listening back?
You know, I should have wrote that down.
Oh, my goodness. I hope it was at least listening back.
Think maybe it was listening back.
Okay. Oh, I really hope it wasn't in real life.
Yeah, they were unable to capture unexplained visual phenomena or apparitions or anything. Mm-hmm. But they just heard voices and stuff. And footsteps. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's horrifying.
And they also, they were asking the spirits about items in the kitchen. And after one person, like, they held up the salt shaker and they heard somebody say, "That's salt, you're right."
Wow, okay. Wow, that's...
So, yeah, like, I'm guessing, like, if we're going to experience anything, it's going to be, like, random voices, which is so
I'm creepy. Not... Oh, that's, like... I can't. If I hear, mm-hmm. "That's salt, you're right," I'm losing my marbles. Every single one of my marbles, gone.
Mm-hmm. So, there's a little bit more detail on their website if you want to go check that out. It's on portcityparanormal.com. So, you can go check that out. Shout out to them. And also, I have another little investigation that I found from Wilmington Paranormal Research.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out.
I was in that mm-hmm. group, in case anybody doesn't know that was listening.
Yeah, so yeah. I was going to mention that, and I was going to ask you to tell everybody what that was all about.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, when I was in college at UNCW, I was in Wilmington Paranormal Research, which was, like, this club, basically, where we went and did investigations. When I was in the club, like, you can only go to so many investigations. Because, I mean, the club was ginormous. There were hundreds of people. So, like, not everybody could go on every single investigation. So, we kind of, like, put it on, like, a little circle kind of deal. So, I ended up going to the Bellamy House, which we've covered and did a vlog at. And I forgot what the other place was called that I went to. Oh, Fort Anderson, which is also, like, another really creepy haunted place here. Very creepy. But yeah, I guess they did go to the Bergwin Wright House, and like maybe that's why it sounds so familiar to me. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear about what they found.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know why I wasn't a part of this, because I should have been.
Savannah, I'm pretty positive, like, I would almost bet money that I begged you to join. And also, I'm pretty sure, did you not go to one meeting with me? I know Garrett did. I know Garrett did.
He did? I don't remember going.
I'm pretty positive Garrett did.
I don't know.
At least once. So, well, I know that I asked you to join with us. Well, I know you did. I know that I did. I'm sorry. Well, that's your own fault.
Well, anyways, Wilmington Paranormal Research did an investigation here. And they investigated on March 22nd of 2015. So I believe that was before our time.
It was before our time.
So.
Just right before our time.
Yeah. Yeah. Right before it. So we wouldn't have had a chance to go there anyway. Mm-hmm. But they interviewed the museum manager about personal experiences and legends. And they recorded the talk that they had with them and heard another voice in the recording.
Ew.
Yeah, but the words were indiscernible, so they couldn't really make out what they were saying.
Oh my gosh, there's so many voices here.
I know, like, that's the whole thing. It's like, this house has a lot of voices and footsteps and stuff, not very much like other things happening. Oh, which I guess is fine.
That's fine.
Still creepy, but
yeah.
Yeah. So they were also given a house tour before they did their investigation, and they had, for the investigation, they had 5-person groups conduct 45-minute sessions over an 8-hour period.
Okay.
So, and they heard people talking and footsteps, of course, just like I just said, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I wish I could tell you more, but I could not find much more about this investigation. The little article that I found did not cover the results. At the end of the article, it said, like, oh, we will come back and, maybe we'll make another article about the results, but they never posted anything.
Interesting. So. A mystery.
Yeah, so I guess they analyzed the results and, like, they didn't post it anywhere. So, I don't know. Is there a website that I could have found that? Or do you not know?
I don't think so. Because at least when I was a part of it, it was like a Dropbox situation. Like, you had to kind of have the login and stuff.
Okay.
To have everything. There wasn't a website. Not when I was there, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I have. I mean, I'm just excited to go and maybe hear some ghosts, because...
Listen. Okay. None of us can say anything. Okay? We can't be whispering, like, oh, ooh, there's a ghost. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to actually hear the ghost.
Yeah. Ugh,
I'm scared. What? Okay. My biggest fear is I don't even care if a ghost talks to me. Like, that's fine. Talk to me. But, like, you know what I don't want? I don't want it to be up in my ear. You know?
Yeah.
That's what I don't
want. I get you. I don't know. I mean, all of the accounts that I just read off, right? Mm-hmm. Most of them were saying that it's, like, sort of background noise.
Yeah. So, that I'm cool with that. That makes me feel a little bit better, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like muttering. It's like you just hear somebody in the distance talking, which is like definitely creepy, but like
Don't you worry. I'm going to be horrified tomorrow. But like, I feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
A little. Oh, that is so spooky. Well, guys, this also is a part two. You're going to want to come back next week. We're going to have a story. I know we'll have some sort of a story. There's no way nothing's going to happen.
I know.
I feel like even if that means they have to make something happen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, they won't do that, but well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm so excited. I'm so scared, like, genuinely.
I love this episode so far, because like, that whole story was crazy, and now we're gonna get into the part two of your amazing story. I'm just like so ready to hear.
I know. I feel this. So bad, because like, well, I made everybody wait, but I've really made Savannah wait for the end of the story.
Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't have to wait that long.
I know, but you had to wait.
Because we like, just...
more.
Recorded just the other day.
We did. But, you know, I still feel like you got it the worst.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, anyways, I guess moving on. There's really just no way to move on from that creepiness to this horribleness, I guess. But... this week, in case you somehow missed it, I'm bringing you part two of the story behind Princess Diana's mysterious death. Okay?
Yes.
So, if you missed last week's episode, I'm not doing a recap, guys. Just go listen to it. It's a lot. It's simply a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. I don't think you could recap it.
That's really what I'm saying. There's just simply no way. So, I did leave off. I'll recap just a little bit, okay? I left off... where Diana, and as well as her boyfriend and the driver of the car, they all tragically died from this car accident. Okay. And one man, Trevor, made it out alive. Barely, but he did. So I guess that's kind of the place to start off. Okay. So getting into the, I guess, new information that I have for you guys, we'll just jump right on in. So, obviously, and clearly, Princess Diana's death was like a huge shock to the entire world. Everybody was shook. I mean, everybody was following her every single move, obviously. Like, the paparazzi, up her butt. The whole entire world wanted to know what she was doing at every second. So when they found out that, like, she died, honestly, nobody even believed it at first. People were, like, there's videos of people making jokes. Like, oh, ha, 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 like, Princess Diana's dead, like, just kidding. But, like, she really was.
What?
Like, people really jokes? Didn't believe it.
Oh, wow.
Like, they thought it was, like, a prank. Which I'm like, why would that ever be a prank? Honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, I guess I can kind of see how, like, it is sort of unbelievable.
Definitely. Definitely. Plus, she had literally, like, just been in the news. Like, been spotted at that hotel, you know?
Yeah. So, because it's such a horrible accident.
It really
yeah, you don't want to believe it.
Mm-mm. No, definitely not. So when this story broke and the world knew what had happened, they only got like bits and pieces, of course, at the beginning, but pretty much immediately people were suspicious, because everybody in the world was following this like huge Princess Diana story up until this point. So pretty much everybody had like a baseline of knowledge of like what was going on. Like, they knew about the divorce, like, all the weird stuff that was going on, like, because it was all over the news. So, everybody kind of already had, like, a seed of doubt in the back of their head pretty much immediately. So, just keep that in mind. So, we're going to get back to Trevor, okay, the survivor. Because I don't even know if I realize that there was a survivor.
Yeah, see, like, if you see the car that got crashed,
yeah,
it doesn't look like anyone could have survived
that. The fact that he survived that, it's on our Instagram if you guys want to see it, the picture of the crash. It's unbelievable that he made it out alive. Like, the car was literally gone, pretty much. So, but he did make it out alive, Trevor. He broke every single bone in his face, and caused him very severe head trauma. Like, very severe.
Is he still alive today?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah, so, at first, like, obviously it took, like, weeks to even, like, wake him up because of how bad, like, his injuries were. But when he finally woke up and stuff, he said that all that he could remember was getting into the car at the hotel. And then it just kind of goes black. So, you know, that's kind of, like, all he really remembered at first. And it was said, like, in the news that people thought the paparazzi had killed her. And so he was like, well, maybe that's what happened. I don't know. Like, he kind of just went along with whatever people were saying at first. Because I genuinely just don't even think he remembered. Like, I can't even imagine, like, how the paparazzi was for him either. Like, in the hospital, people were probably trying to sneak in and talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Because, you know, there's nobody else to talk to.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So, kind of the first story that, like, got out into the news was that the paparazzi killed her. Or, like, had caused the accident, you know, because they were chasing them. So, that's what people originally thought. Until a couple days after the accident, when the police report came back and it was, like, public, you know, made public. The police report concluded that the accident was caused by reckless driving and that Henri, the driver, was going 65 miles per hour in this tunnel and that he was also drunk driving.
Oh, wow. That's...
Yeah, like, that came out of nowhere, I feel like. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, drunk driving. Like, people were like, huh? Excuse me. So, according to the police report, his blood alcohol concentration was more than 3 times the legal limit. To the medical examiner.
3 times?
3 times. Now, that's severe. Huh. That's severe. I feel like I've been 3 times the legal limit maybe once in my life. Like, maybe not even. Like, that's very severe. But what is even more wild is that people who, like, Henri was working with that night, because he was, you know, on duty, obviously he was working, they say that, like, he could maybe possibly have gotten drunk on the job, but there's actually hotel footage of him, like, walking around, like, working. And to me personally, at least, it does not look like he is 3 times the legal limit drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's walking around talking just fine. Looks like he's just doing his regular job. Now, I don't know. Maybe he's an alcoholic. I don't know. Maybe he can handle his alcohol. But to me, it didn't look like he was that drunk, or drunk at all. So.
See, and I want to say, like, if he was that drunk, like, would the passengers not realize it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like,
yeah.
Would they not have noticed if he was 3 times the legal limit? Like, wow. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to get more into that, like, here in a minute. So just put that on the back burner. Let's see here. So I lost my spot. No. Okay. Here we go. So another crazy thing. This really blew my mind because I did not know this either. The tunnel, where the accident happened, was quote unquote sanitized, whatever that means, and reopened less than 24 hours after the accident.
Oh my God.
There is literally absolutely no way that they got all the evidence out of that tunnel in less than 24 hours.
They should have shut that down and, like, used it, like
that's recreated a crime scene. It. Like, I mean, what do you mean? That's a crime scene. Regardless of what happened. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's crazy. So any evidence, you know, that was left behind at all, that was blown away by the cars that drove there, like, literally the next day. So that's just absolutely insane. authorities in France, like, they just wanted a really easy open and close case because they were like, whatever, it was an accident. Like, it was a car accident. Like, it was not just an accident, sir.
See, and even if it was just an accident, like, that is the princess.
That is the princess.
Right, like, that's Wales. Royalty. Yeah.
Guys, we need to look into it more. Like, yeah. We're not going to look into it at all. So it was closed immediately, the case. And a full-on investigation of the accident wasn't started until 10 years later.
Are you serious? Yeah. 10 years later? Yeah,
10 years later. And so this investigation, they called it Operation Paget, and it was created to determine if the accident was really an accident or not. So, yeah.
Okay, so, like, up until that point, they just said, oh, he was drunk
and
he
crashed. Yeah, it was an accident. Yep. Yep, for 10 years. Huh. Okay. And people, I can't even imagine, like, back then, the, like, quote-unquote conspiracy theorist that people, like, thought were crazy, you know, they were probably like, oh, she didn't actually, this wasn't actually an accident. Like, it really wasn't. You know, yeah. Like, people probably did not believe them at first. It's crazy. So, okay. So, on to, we're going to deep dive into these conspiracies. So, there's three main conspiracies of what possibly could have happened. Obviously, there's probably, like, thousands and thousands of real whatever, like, scenarios that could have gone down, but there are three main ones that people believe. So, we're just going to stick with those. So, the first one is that Henri Paul was driving drunk and got into an accident trying to get away from the paparazzi. Okay, so we got the drunk driving accident. Okay, the second is that the royal family wanted to take out Diana, so they planned this quote-unquote accident to get rid of her, allegedly. And third would be that the paparazzi caused this accident so that they would have, like, a huge story to report on. So, yeah, that's what we're working with here. So,
I don't really believe the last one, you know?
Yeah, me neither. They were just chasing her, in my opinion. Yeah. But, like, people in that conspiracy, they're not like, oh, they wanted to kill them. That's not, like, what they're saying the goal was. They were just like, maybe we caused, like, a little fender bender, you know, into an accident. And but then they got into, like, a huge accident.
Okay.
Type situation.
Well, I mean, maybe that could have happened.
Yeah, and I think that maybe, like, I honestly think it could have maybe been a mix of all three.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Henri was drinking a little bit. Maybe the paparazzi was chasing them a little hard. And the royal family might have had something to do with it. You know? I mean, that's not really out of the realm of possibilities here. So, anyway, so some of the findings that Operation Paget found was that right before the crash, there was a very bright light in the tunnel that could have blinded Henri and caused the accident. So, this didn't come out for 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. And all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, so there was a bright light in the tunnel. Maybe he wasn't, you know, maybe he was drunk, maybe he wasn't. But, so the reports say that this flash was absolutely not coming from any sort of, like, camera because it was too big and too bright to be from a camera, like, of that time. So multiple people claim to have seen this light, but authorities can't prove that they actually did. So police in France, they're just like, no, it's all made up.
Okay.
Like, okay, whatever you say, France police. Mm-hmm. So also right before the crash, people report that a white Fiat car actually hit Princess Diana's car and then sped away. So now that seems out of left field, but white paint was actually found on the side of Princess Diana's car. So the police, like, went in, did this huge search trying to find this Fiat, because obviously we know that there were, if you don't remember, 14 cameras in the tunnel and they were all down. None of them were working.
Okay. That night. See, that is a big
factor here. Yeah, big factor. So, you know, normally if the cameras were working like they were supposed to be, we would have footage of the white mystery Fiat that was apparently hit the car. But since the cameras weren't working, we don't have any real evidence. And the mystery Fiat was never found, and neither was the driver. So,
yeah.
That's real suspicious.
Like, did they look for it right away or 10 years later?
Yeah, no, this is all later. None of this is immediate. So
yeah, see, that makes sense then why they couldn't find it.
Yeah, Exactly.
Like, I feel like they could have found it if they started all of this way earlier.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So, some people believe that this was, like, somebody the royal family hired, and some people believe this was, like, another paparazzi situation. So, I guess kind of take that for what you believe. I kind of feel like, you know what, I'll tell you my personal feelings at the end.
Okay, yeah.
So, let's see here. Man, I keep losing my spot so bad. Okay. So, they did actually have suspects as to who, like, could have been driving the mystery white Fiat, but nothing substantial and nothing that ever held up. So, I just kind of won't even get into any of that, but just know. It's out there if you want to know. So, let's see here. Okay. I said I wasn't going to get into it, but... And I'm not going to, because we would be here for another hour. But one of the suspects that the police were highly looking into for this, like, for being the driver of this white mystery Fiat, he was actually found dead in his house with two bullets in his head, and then the house was burned. And his death was ruled a suicide and swept under the rug. But he was found with two bullets in his head before his body was burned, so therefore he was dead before the fire. So, because I mean, at least in my experience, you can't really shoot yourself two times in the head and then set yourself on fire.
Can you even shoot yourself twice?
I don't know. I don't think so. So,
that's very suspicious. Like,
that's very suspicious.
I'm not liking this.
No. So that's weird. Like, that's real weird. Real weird. So, anyway, moving on. Back to Trevor, the bodyguard. As more and more time is passing since the crash at this point in time, Trevor is healing and getting better. And as he's getting better, his memory is coming back. So, that's good. He says that he remembers there being a motorbike that followed them into the tunnel and had been following them, like, the whole time from the hotel. So that's interesting. And what is also wild is that actually there was a police report found that was actually given on the night of the accident, but it was never looked into. So that's wonderful. But this report said that there was this motorbike that was cutting off Princess Diana's car, and that it cut off the car and kind of caused the crash, is what this anonymous report said.
Oh my God.
But yeah, they didn't look into it. And it was kind of thrown away by the police. But now that Trevor is saying that he remembers this, I'm like, okay, maybe it happened. I mean, first of all, he was there.
Right. So, like, I believe him.
I mean, I don't know. Right. Like, what does he have to lose? Nothing. Literally, nothing.
Maybe, like, I guess you could argue, like, his memory was, you know, he was making up memories if he had heard this theory.
That's true.
His brain sort of just like remembered it wrong or something. But I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I really don't either. So back to the tunnel. Again, there were 14 cameras. None of them were working. Guys, this was in 1997, okay? But even in 1997, the fact that every single one of these cameras were down and none of them were working, I'm sorry, that's just not, it's unheard of.
Yeah, that's really, really suspicious.
Extremely. And it's some of the cameras were, like, turned. So not only were they all cut off, like, from the source, but some of them were, like, turned facing a wall. So, like, even if they were turned on, they would see a concrete wall.
And do you know how long they were off?
Not very long, because... Okay, we'll get into it more later because I don't know where it is, but I do know how long. So let me try to find it.
It's really just like all of these things alone would maybe not be that suspicious, but adding them all up, it's really just like painting this picture that's not good.
Guys, there's just simply no way that all of these millions of tiny little things are coincidences. Like, I'm sorry. Absolutely not. So, officials came out and said, like, oh, these cameras are broken, right? They're like, no, they don't work. They never work. But that's not true because, ooh, you're not ready for this, Savannah. people received speeding tickets from these cameras in this tunnel, reported the first one being 15 minutes after the accident.
15 minutes?
15 minutes. Somebody got a speeding ticket from the camera in the tunnel. So,
okay, that shows that somebody turned it off then.
Somebody turned it off. Point blank, yeah. Period. I'm sorry. Don't come after me. But, like, the cameras were turned off. They really yeah. were. There's just no way. Absolutely no way. So, getting back to the driver, okay, Henri Paul, he allegedly, and this is very much so alleged, was working as an undercover agent for MI6, okay? Now, I didn't know what MI6 was, but apparently that's, like, the UK's version of, like, the FBI / CIA / Secret Service, okay?
Yeah, isn't it, like, James Bond, or no?
Yeah, I guess so. So, just imagine James Bond. So, allegedly, the driver was working as James Bond.
Okay.
So, and this is alleged, it's not proven. But, so, he was working as a driver for the Ritz Hotel. And he knew every single thing that went on there. And it's speculated that the royal family may have known, like, who he was and hired him directly to do this. So, that would mean that theories 1 and 2 would be collectively true.
But they hired him and then he ended up dying too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was an accident, so I don't really know. But there's evidence that backs this theory, okay? Because there are random deposits of money that Henri received leading up to the accident, like weeks before. His job did it pay him that well? You know, it paid him fine, but, like, nothing too crazy, you know? I mean, he was literally a driver. He's not going to get that much money, even if it is a fancy hotel. He got hundreds of thousands of dollars in direct deposit weeks leading up to the accident. His parents, after his death, tried to explain where he got the money from, but they couldn't either. So that's real suspicious. Henri also did not take the usual route to Dodie's apartment that night that he, like, would have normally taken. But I know that seems weird, but that also might have been because, like, the paparazzi were chasing them. So maybe he was trying to go, like, you know, get around them in some way.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you know, that's too weird. Okay, but here, this is weird. So his blood alcohol concentration, right? It was 3 times the legal limit. But his blood also showed that his carbon monoxide numbers were deathly high. Like, he should have already been dead when he was driving the car. Now, that's weird because none of the other bodies had any kind of high carbon monoxide read. So, it, like, wasn't from the accident. Wasn't from before.
Is that real or is that just, like, fake numbers?
No, it's real. It was on the autopsy report.
Okay, but we're saying that maybe he wasn't drunk, so, like, maybe he didn't have this in his system.
100%. So, people believe that the autopsy report could have either been switched or mixed up with somebody else's.
Oh, that, yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay, also, Trevor was asked about Henri, and apparently when they were asking him these questions, they weren't giving him, like, leading questions. Like, oh, how was Henri acting this night? They were like, what was popping? Like, how was everybody acting, you know? And he said that Henri just looked like he was a regular man doing his job. And they were like, did he seem drunk at all? And he was like, drunk. He was like, there's literally no way that Henri was drunk. And then when he found out that he was, quote unquote, 3 times the legal limit, he literally rolled his eyes and was like, there is literally no way that he was 3 times the legal limit drunk. So the fact that Trevor is literally saying, like, he seemed to be completely fine, I believe Trevor.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe his mind isn't as strong as it was before or whatever. But I believe that he would at least remember how the driver was acting. He was sitting right beside him. He was in the passenger seat.
Right.
So, like,
yeah, no, definitely.
Also, I feel like if he was 3 times the legal limit drunk, I think the passenger would be able to, I don't know, smell some alcohol on him.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's kind of important. You would definitely smell like alcohol if you were that drunk. And
yeah, you'd smell like it, be acting weird.
Yep. So. But none of those things were happening, so that's just real suspicious to me. So, moving along, a thorough search was done on the car, too, or at least, tragically, what was left of the car. And it was actually found that this car, originally, was stolen, bought, and repurposed as, like, a fancy car. So...
Okay.
Like, literally, what? I didn't know people... I mean, I guess it makes sense that, like, hotels and stuff would, like, buy previously stolen cars because they're cheaper, even though they're still nice.
Yeah, yeah,
I but, guess like, so. I don't know, that's crazy. So, some people believe, because of this, like, because of the fact that it was actually a stolen car before, people believe that it was actually being remotely controlled by somebody else, and that's what caused the crash.
What? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I don't think so. I mean, maybe. Lord only knows.
Yeah, but, I mean, that one might be a little bit far-fetched.
Right.
To me, I don't know.
The weird part about that is that even though I feel like there, with every single thing that I say, it's, like, really out there, but then, like, there's a little piece of evidence kind of supporting it, you know? So, this car was a Mercedes, and the Mercedes company reached out to the police and said that they would actually look at the car if the police wanted them to, and see, like, what was going on, and just make sure, like, on, like, Mercedes end, at least, like, it wasn't the car that malfunctioned to cause the accident.
Right.
They were like,
right.
We want to, like, we'll help anyway. You need us to, like, we want to help because this is awful. And the French police would not let them see the car, would not let them touch the car, would not let them do anything. They said, absolutely not. And that's real sus to me because they were willing to do it for free. And, like, even if they didn't trust them to, like, keep the car, they could have, like, they were like, you can stand here and watch us, like, do it. And they're like, no. So, you know, maybe they're holding the chain of custody or maybe they're hiding something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just, this whole situation. Oh, my gosh.
It's all a little too much. Okay, so back to the ambulance situation. If you remember at the very end of the episode last week, I told you guys that while they were driving critical condition Princess Diana to the hospital, the ambulance was driving 25 miles an hour. Listen, this is 1997, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was alive. And I think that the ambulances back then, even if they were in France, were not driving 25 miles an hour.
No. No.
No ambulance anywhere would be driving 95 miles an hour. Okay?
That's just ridiculous.
I mean, I could run faster. Not me personally, but somebody can. Like, that's insane. Like, they're barely even driving. They're that's wild. So, I understand, like, if the French protocol during this time is to do life-saving measures, like, at the scene and then transfer them to a hospital, right? That's what we talked about last week. And even though we were like, that's dumb, because obviously you should just try to get them to the hospital as fast as you can. But, like, the fact that they're going to wait 2 hours to take her to the hospital and then also drive 25 miles an hour to get to the hospital, to me at least, that seems like they wanted her to die on the way. And
yeah, no, I totally agree.
Yeah, and that's like, one of the biggest conspiracy theories around this whole thing is, like, pretty much everybody believes, like, they didn't even want her to have a chance at survival. Like, that. Like, what other reason would there be to wait that long, to drive that slow? And also, guys, they didn't even take her to the closest hospital from the tunnel.
Are you serious?
Oh, I am serious. They went to a different, farther away hospital because it was, quote unquote, better. And, yeah. So, also, they apparently they stopped the ambulance on the side of the road while they were literally across the street from the hospital. And nobody really knows why. It was never said why. People were like, were you doing, like, life-saving measures? I don't know. Like, why did you need to pull off on the side of the road? All of that's real weird. Okay? real weird. But eventually, you know, whatever, they make it. And she's apparently still alive when they get to the hospital. They rush her into surgery and then she dies on the table. So this hospital, obviously, no one in the whole world was prepared for this, but this hospital was not prepared for this. The hospital staff were told that they needed to keep her body as cold as they could to preserve her.
Okay.
They could only do as much as they could with what they were working with. This hospital was not very fancy, to say the least. And the best thing that they could come up with was that they put her body in this, like, pretty much empty room and filled the room with as much dry ice as they could get, like, on the spot. To keep her cold. Because I guess they didn't have, like, a freezer. Like, a body freezer. I guess they didn't have a morgue in the hospital. So, you know, I don't know why they thought this was going to work, but it didn't. The dry ice wasn't keeping her cold.
Like, what do they do when literally anybody dies in this hospital?
I have no idea.
It's a hospital. People are going to die.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's almost like they went to a worse hospital, like, on purpose.
Right. Like, oh my god.
Yeah. So, because the dry ice was not keeping her body cold, the hospital staff were told to embalm her immediately.
Okay.
And so, without question, obviously they listen, because obviously you have to listen to these higher people. When they're saying this is Princess Diana and this is a confidential matter and you need to do what we say, obviously they're going to do what they say.
Uh-huh.
So they did it. They embalmed her immediately, like within the hour of her death. And if you don't know what that is, that's basically where they remove all of your organs and fill you with like this fluid that like keeps your body like preserved the way that it is. However, you know. So what that means is that they did zero testing and zero autopsies before. And at this point, it was too late.
Oh, my God.
To do any test. To do any singular test. To test anything.
I didn't know that. That's insane.
Me neither. That right there is enough alone for me. I didn't even need all the rest of this evidence.
Yeah, very suspicious.
That's extremely, extremely suspicious. So, as if it wasn't already obvious, I think this right here is the piece of evidence that kind of proves in and of itself that this was no accident. They wanted, whoever they is, they wanted to make sure that she died, and they wanted to make sure there was no evidence of what happened. And that kind of like the embalming situation, that kind of makes me feel like something happened like in the ambulance. Like that they did something to make sure that like she wasn't going to make it, and like they didn't want to find out. Like, I don't know. There's just a lot going on. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on from the hospital scene, there was a criminal informant that eventually came out and said that MI6 did in fact have an undercover agent working at the Ritz Hotel.
Oh, he didn't. Okay.
Now, he didn't list who it was. He was like, no, I can confirm. We had one working at the Ritz, specifically to watch Diana. That was this undercover agent's job. So this informant claims to have seen an assassination plan for a Serbian leader, like, at the time. And this assassination plan was identical to Diana's accident, where they would shine a bright light in a tunnel to cause a crash and make it look like an accident for this Serbian leader. And
wait a sec.
if you connect the dots there.
So did they do it to Diana instead of the other woman?
Yeah, or did they do it to both?
I mean, did this other leader die?
He never said which specific Serbian leader, who the assassination was planned on. Okay. So I don't know.
Right.
What happened?
So
with that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the informant also said that the craziest part is not that he saw the exact assassination plan, but he said that this exact assassination plan is used way more often than you would think, especially in MI6. So I'm like, what do you mean, sir? What are you saying? Like, he's basically saying, it happens a lot, guys. And I'm not trying to hide it. Like, yeah, it happened.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So that's very interesting, for sure. But if you don't believe that, what's even more weird is that the United States Department of Defense came out and said that they had a case open for Diana, but to this day have never released any documents for their case. Okay. But my question is, what does the U.S. have anything to question Diana about? And they did, in fact, say that the case is over 1,000 pages long, but they said that they are not allowed to disclose the case details for national security reasons. Like, babe, okay. What national security reason? What does that mean? Like, I'm not even sure if Diana ever even went to the United States. Like, I'm sure she did, maybe. But I'm not positive. So that's...
Wait, national security with the United States?
Yeah. The case is from the United States Department of Defense. And we, as the United States, have never released that case. But I'm like, what's the case, babe?
Yeah, that doesn't...
That's what I'm saying.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, and they said literally, it's over 1,000 pages, too. It's not like a small little, she ran a traffic light. Over 1,000 pages? That's something pretty severe.
This whole case is just having me just appalled. I'm like, I don't know what to think.
I know. It's far too much. Truly. So, years after the death, people are interviewing anybody and everybody they can in Diana's life. So Diana's close friends all said that, she lived her life in her final years, extremely paranoid, that she was being watched and followed at every second of every day. And honestly, that's because she was being watched at every second of every day. Her previous bodyguard, before Trevor, actually came out and said that she was so paranoid, of being watched and listened to. Like, she was paranoid for, listening devices and stuff, too. So she would, empty rooms and, look through rooms and stuff when she got in there because she was like, people are listening to me. But honestly, they probably were. And they probably did have the listening devices in there.
Uh-huh. She was, rightfully paranoid.
Yeah, exactly. And her previous bodyguard also claims that Diana had come to him countless times saying that she was going to be killed in a car accident for some reason. She said, what? I have a really bad feeling that I'm going to be killed in a car accident.
Oh, my God.
And she apparently wrote him a letter explaining why she thought this and stuff. And so, that's out there in the world, apparently. Diana also mentioned, in interviews and to her friends, that she had previously dated somebody that she wanted to run away with. Like, I guess amidst the scandals of her crazy marriage. That she wanted to run away with him and leave the entire royal life behind. But tragically, out of nowhere, he committed suicide. And Diana said that she never once believed that he would ever commit suicide. And that she says that she thinks that he was picked off so that she couldn't run away with him, so that she would be tied, stuck. So,
yeah,
that's crazy. think about this case. How many times have I said somebody random out there in the outskirts of the story have committed suicide? Guys, that's real suspicious. I know a lot of people commit suicide, but that seems a little coincidental.
Right, and they're all involved somehow in this story.
Exactly. That's super strange. Super, super strange. So, as I mentioned already, obviously, her death was felt around the entire world. And it's custom when a member of the royal family dies, they do flags at half-mast. All around the world, even. But for Diana's death, they did not raise the flag to half-mast. And the queen didn't even release a statement right away. For days, actually. And this caused public uproar. They were like, I can't believe, like, you're not, like, everybody was like, you're not going to say anything, like, you're not even sad, like, nothing. And a week later, literally a week later, the Queen released a statement and raised the flag to have masks. Like, literally an entire week after she died. That is so disrespectful.
Is it because they, like, took away her title, so they're like, well, she's not part of the royal family anymore?
Yeah.
That's just, yeah. Oh my gosh.
But that's not normal, because, like, I think I mentioned it last week, too. Like, even when, if a divorce was to happen or whatever, like, because she's still the mom of the princes, like, she's technically still in the family, like, her blood is there.
Yeah.
So, like, in every other case scenario of, like, this happening, they would still raise the flag, but just specifically not for Diana.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah. So.
See, and honestly, if they were involved, too, like, this, they should have done it just to get people.
That's what I'm saying. Like, make it believable. Jesus Christ. Like, you can't even sell the story.
Right. Not be suspicious.
But I guess they don't really answer to the law, so they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's true. They don't care. They're like, I mean, what are you going to do? Catch me? And that's just my personal opinion. Don't come for me. But yeah, I don't know. It's really crazy. But somehow you might think this might not get crazier, but it does. It always does. It will even get crazier even when I'm done, because there will be things I didn't mention. So in the last weeks of her life, Diana readily told the public that she had a huge announcement to make, and she was really excited to make it. People didn't know, like, if this meant, like, a personal announcement or a professional announcement, but we never get that announcement. People believe that it was actually a pregnancy announcement, but because they embalmed her body so quickly, no tests were done, so we never were ever able to find out if she was actually pregnant or not.
Oh my God.
But if she was pregnant, that would mean that literally another life was lost in this as well. So, you know, even more awful. But if she was pregnant with Dodi's child, which that at the time would have been, like, who the baby daddy was.
Right.
The royal family would not like that at all. And that alone would be motive for them to take Diana out. So that's crazy. And people suspect that they had, like, the hospital staff embalm her so quickly so that they wouldn't find out that she was pregnant. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's insane. So, okay. I could really talk for literally 4 more hours on this topic, but I have a few quick last things to mention, okay? Things that have recently came out about Princess Diana, because I think at least in our lifetimes, we're never going to stop hearing about Princess Diana, and I think things are going to continuously come about from this case. Because, I mean, as technology gets better and better, like, we're going to be able to find more and more stuff, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, maybe one day we'll have an answer, hopefully. But in May of 2020, the group Anonymous, if you know who that is, which, I mean, obviously, if you know who that is, we can't use this as actual proof, because Anonymous is basically, what's it called, Savannah, do you know what they're called? Man, I did not write it down.
It's not like a secret society.
No, but it's kind of. It's kind of like a secret society, kind of working for good, kind of working for evil, and as of lately, very much so, not really on the good side of things, okay. At least. I don't know too much about the group, but I just know, as of lately, they've been under fire, okay? So,
okay.
Maybe we can't use this as factual proof, but it's at least something that came out recently that's a little strange. So, Anonymous came out and said, in May of 2020, so, like, peak coronavirus time, they said that Diana had proof of the royal family human trafficking, like a huge human trafficking ring. And that her announcement that she had to make was not actually pregnancy at all, and that it had to do with taking down the royal family with this human trafficking scandal. Now, this...
That, you can't see me, but my mouth, my jaw is, like, wide open.
Yeah. That's bad. Guys, that's big, big bad. And while we can't always believe what Anonymous says, most of the stuff they say, well, I won't say most, some of the stuff they say is absolutely true. Like, these, Anonymous is like a group of hackers that are able to like find out all this secret stuff about people that we can't normally get. Like, right. They use the dark web and they use all this like really illegal stuff to get this information. But like the fact that they said that, like, we can't fully believe it, but it holds a little bit of weight for sure. And what makes it even more believable is that this is not the first allegation of human trafficking in the royal family. But it is, in fact, another huge motive for why they would have wanted Diana dead. If she was going to expose them, that, I mean, that, if she, had she done that, that would have ended the royal family. Hashtag canceled for real. Like, I really don't know if they could have made it back from that. So if that's true, that's really something to take into consideration. And okay, one last thing. Actually, my mom told me about today, like as we are recording, this information came out. So it's really sad, but I have to feel like I have to tell you because it did in fact just come out, like literally as the story is breaking right now. It said that on the 10-year anniversary of Princess Diana's death, Prince Harry was actually in Paris for that, and he had his driver drive in the tunnel that she was killed in at the exact mile an hour that she was going when she like got into the accident. So he drove into the tunnel going 65 miles an hour, just like his mom, on the 10-year anniversary. And he survived it. He was like, it's crazy that, like, it was really nothing. Like, he was like, the tunnel, like, I thought it was, like, this huge and scary thing, but actually, it's just a regular tunnel. Like, some, like, this horrible accident should have never happened in this completely average tunnel. Like, right. That hurts. Like, that's so sad for him. Genuinely, that's...
Yeah, that's just... That's really sad. I don't know why he would want to do that.
Right.
You know?
I don't know either. Maybe he just felt like he had to. I don't know. But it's awful. It's truly awful. So, really sadly, I think that this mystery might be one that is never closed, never solved. I mean, just look how many hands and eyes are on the case, and, like, it's still not solved to this day. Like, I just don't know. But one thing that we cannot argue is, like, the power that this family has. And if we're all being serious and real honest, like, if they wanted her gone, they could make it happen. They could have made it happen for sure. So, all that I know is whatever happened in that tunnel, regardless of who was truly behind it, it was not an accident. It was absolutely not just a car accident. So, yeah, that is the mysterious death of Princess Diana. Da da da.
Oh my gosh. I still don't, I don't have an answer for what I think happened. I don't know.
I really do. I really think the royal family hired people to make it happen, and they made it happen.
Yeah.
I think the driver was probably working with them. I think everybody was kind of working with them to take her out. But don't quote me on that, royal family. But that is what I think. I absolutely think it was them behind it. So, yeah. And I also think that plays, like, a huge part in, like, why Harry is, like, the way he is today. And, I mean, like, he left the family.
Like, yeah,
that's
exactly.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's unheard of. So, yeah. I just know there's very many things going on in that family that's not good. Enough to make literally somebody in the family leave. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. But, yeah, that's really all I got for you.
Huh. Yeah, I don't have anything more to say about that. That was just, like... I know. It's just a lot.
It's absolutely crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, the amount of things that happen. I mean, it's just literally countless. It's just crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. But go to our Instagram to see pictures from this week. We'll post more pictures of Diana and absolutely how stunning she is. Like, wow, that picture we posted last week, I was like,
I know.
Literally,
yeah, I picked
what
that
a queen. That's my queen right there.
Yeah.
But we'll also have pictures of the Bergwin Wright House.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll have a story. Oh, man. Don't worry. Yeah, I know how. So. I know Princess Diana got serious, but don't. I didn't forget about the Bergwin Wright House, okay? I'm horrified.
I know. I'm.
We're going.
I'm ready.
To be there in less than 24 hours.
Yes.
Like, as we are recording, so. Ah! Oh, well, I guess that's really all I have for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
Yeah, that is it.
Okay, well, see you guys next time.
All right, cue the music.